before we get into this week's guest, who you are going to love, by the way, I know you know her already, but she is such good chat. She's a gem, as we say. So exciting. Just a bit of news for you, because from this point on, you are going to be getting an episode of the podcast every single week in the run-up to the grand final. So please subscribe if you haven't done already. It just means that you get the episode as soon as it drops. And honestly, we've got so many plans on the way over the next couple of months. And it's been a big week for us, hasn't it? Because we've been in Malmö in Sweden. The Eurovision keys have been officially handed over from Liverpool. And we've had that all-important semi-final draw. So all the countries now know which show they're going to be singing in, hoping to qualify for that grand final in May. But let's get to today's guest. So excited, as I've said already, not least because of her role at Eurovision, but because she, like so many of us, is a Eurovision obsessive who has been watching the contest for years. So let's get to it. Our guest today is and will always be a very special member of the Eurovision family. She doesn't need too much of an introduction, to be honest. Just going to use a few words. We're going to say businesswoman, entrepreneur, content creator, all-round makeup queen, and crucially, one of the hosts of the Eurovision Song Contest in Rotterdam back in 2021. It is Nikki Tutorials herself. A huge welcome to Nikki Diaha. How are you, Nikki?
I'm good. Good evening, Europe.
12 points. 12 yes. points.
Oh my God. It feels great to be back in this Eurovision bubble. I love this.
Well, you never went away to so many people.
Oh, those are words I love to hear.
It's 3 years nearly since you co-hosted.
Three years?
Yeah. How does that feel?
Daunting. I'm getting old, and that means we've got to win soon so we can do it again.
Yeah. I mean, can you remember getting the call up to Eurovision?
Oh, no. Listen, this was a whole journey because I've been watching Eurovision since I was like, small. And I've always been such a huge fan. And when Duncan won, I very egotistically tweeted, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to be involved in Eurovision. I'm going to be hosting, I'm going to be painting nails, whatever I have to do, I'll be there. And so Wes and myself kind of made it our mission to get involved. So we started stalking the team and stalking the EBU. We were like, why? You want to work with us? And they were like, well, we don't know about that. And then we started the conversations. And in 2020, the COVID year, they granted me the social media sort of like call out person during the breaks, I found out later on. After that, that special night in 2020 where we did the sort of like the special edition, they were like, okay, we gotta involve you more. So you gotta become part of the three, Chantal, Jan, and Celia. And when they told me that after that show, it was the most surreal moment ever. And it was like, finally, my dream is gonna come true.
You were such a hit. I just want to say that, you know, since people saw you in the first semi-final,
yes.
I think people just knew how warm you were, how professional,
oh.
just how charismatic you were as one of the hosts, which is why I said at the beginning, you'll always now be this member of the Eurovision family, whether you like it or not, you know, it's always going to be a part of you. And I remember we met in Rotterdam, and I remember Chantal, she was like your mother figure, wasn't she?
She was. I really couldn't have done it without her. She, I think, was the most experienced when it comes to live shows. And she really, of all four of us, she kind of was our mom. And she was like, it's going to be all right. You can do it. And whenever there's a slip up, you'll live. And it happens. And she really was this like core to the hosting team. And she was like the steady ground, which was very needed.
Now that you can look back, what was your defining memory of that whole hosting process?
There's one thing that I will never forget. When we did the opening for the finale, the grand final, of course, we have the three hosts that did a song. And when we were preparing for Eurovision, like way ahead, like months before, they were like, okay, Nikki, so you're going to sing. And I was like, no, I can't sing. I'm not going to sing. And they were like, well, we can really work on your vocal cords. And like, we can really make this work. And I was like, no, I'm not going to sing. I can't sing. I have three singers, the other hosts that can actually sing, but I don't want to be like the odd fourth one out. Who's like, so they were like, okay, so then you can do, spoken word. And I was like, okay, sure. But me thinking all this time is that, the other three hosts were going to do live singing, but it turns out that they were going to do lip syncing. And I was like, well, I could have done that. Just lip syncing. Instead of, I did the spoken word. And what was funny is because in Ahoy, we had these, like, the stage had like two doors, like these lead doors that opened up. And during the flag parade, they were open. So I was on the left side of the stage, and the other three were on the center, and they were doing their song. And then after I did my open up this place, sparkle up and open up,
yeah.
You know what I said, I had to get off those stairs, run all the way to the back and behind the stage, climb back up in 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, and be like rested and calm enough to do the walk-in and to be like, good evening, Europe. That moment where I just ran for my life with like the biggest dress on. I don't know how we did it, but we did it.
Because you're there in the moment, you're opening the show. The flag parade is so big. It's like, all that is when your adrenaline is pumping to the max.
Through the roof. And because I had to run, and because we've rehearsed this 1,000 times, and luckily we do every show about 4 times, because you got the rehearsals, you got the friends and family show, you got the live show. So you're doing every show about 4 times. And every 3 times before the live show, it went great. And I was like, oh, don't mess it up for the actual live moment. Please don't. And then I did. And originally, I was going to have the first sort of like opening speech. But I couldn't, because I was like, so they moved fast, so I could actually breathe for a moment. But when you look back at the grand final, when the other three are speaking, you can see me going like this.
Commitment to the cause. Yes. Commitment to the cause. Like, yes. Testing your fitness levels. Like, Eurovision is a whole like wellness package in one, isn't it? It tests your mind, it tests your body, it tests your fitness.
And your soul, honey.
And your soul. You interviewed everybody that year. You did the Look Lab. Who did you build up kind of special bonds with that year, now that we're 3 years out?
Let me think back about this. I had a lot of fun with Sweden, I remember. We just really hit it off. And I remember that there were a lot of videos, like clips of it on TikTok and Instagram. I remember being nervous for Måneskin, because I knew they were like high up in the rankings, and I knew they were like the cool guys from Italy. And whenever there's like cool people around, I'm like, I want them to think I'm cool as well.
Yeah, I do the same.
So when they entered, I tried to be like all like chill and laid back, and deep down I was dying. But I remember that they were really nice, and pretty much every country was extremely, extremely, of course there were some sour apples, but that's part of the job.
Yeah, of course. But Måneskin, who for everyone's benefit that can't see us right now, in my studio I have Måneskin up today. Yes. In honor of you. Yes. I've also got a couple of Dutch artists around me. We've got S10.
Yes. Steve,
got Duncan. We've got Anouk as well. We'll get onto their impact in a moment. Mm-hmm. But Måneskin, I remember being there. I don't know if you felt like this, Nikki, and they were on my radar before Eurovision, but I remember the rehearsal. I just thought, oh wow, this is something else. This is something special.
Yes. Yeah, for us, we so you do a lot of rehearsals when it comes to Eurovision. You rehearse it to death. And I was there early because we're doing Look Lab. So I was about 2 weeks early to the venue, and I lived there pretty much. I was there day in, day out. And I was there during the first round of rehearsals. And I remember having a little break. And then we were like, oh, let's see what's going on stage. And Måneskin was doing their first ever rehearsal. My manager, Wes, and I walked in, and they were just rounding up, and they were having the fireworks, and they were playing the guitars. And we were like, oh, these guys are going to win. like, they're going to win. Like, you felt it in the room. You felt this sort of, like, magical aura passing through. You were like, oh, these are the winners.
You made an impression on them because they let you do their makeup recently.
I know. That after. I know. I never thought they were going to say yes to that because, you know, they just won. The whole world wanted to do something with them. And somehow they said yes. And I did Damiano's makeup. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
Do you feel like a proud, like, mum, auntie, sister for them to see what they've yes. done in the world?
Absolutely. They're really taking the world by storm. And what's really funny to me is, I don't know by the time this comes out, but Damiano is now in a relationship with Dov Cameron in America. And I was like, oh, okay.
Moving wow, on. Wow. I know. It's so good to see. If you do, like, if you're part of Eurovision, do you feel proud when acts just go on to have this, like, incredible success? It's brilliant. I want to say something else, a big thank you to you as well for something that you did, which you talked about at the time, but every outfit you wore, you put yes. the colors of the trans flag into the outfit somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that would have meant so much to so many people.
I felt like I had to do something. I didn't want it to be obnoxious or like really in your face, but I thought it was my duty to just wear my pride somewhere. So in every dress, there's a little element of the trans flag colors. And it felt like a little.
I love it. I think it's such an amazing legacy for you to have for hosting that show as well. So listen, you are a Eurovision fan and always have been. So what was the first contest you remember watching?
Ooh. Well,
or like an earliest memory.
One core memory I have is that there was a birthday downstairs and I locked myself up in my room and I saw Lordi win.
Oh, yeah. 2006, that was.
Was
yeah.
That six? Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. So I've been there from very early on. And I just remember I watched, I believe, the year before. I couldn't really remember what happened. But like the year that Lordi won, I was like, what is this madness? And how is this so amazing?
It gets you, doesn't it? Like, straight away.
Yeah, it does. And it's a place for everyone to be who they are, even if they're monsters. And I was hooked. I was hooked.
And then did you have any traditions, any Eurovision traditions as the years went on?
I would always have my lists of, like, yeah. my favorites and how many points they would get. I don't want to out my brother, but my brother likes to, like, bet for the bookies every year. And I remember this one year, I don't know if I'm kind of, like, fraudulent in this, but the year that Eleni Forera was on with Fuego, that song was very low in the rankings. And I was like, this song is going to eat. It's going to do it. I just felt it. And I saw the music video and I was like, this girl's going to bring it. So I told my brother, she was very low down in the ranks. I was like, bet on her. I'm not going to spend my money on it, but if you're going to spend your money on it, bet on her. I have faith in this girl. And she went on to become second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. You knew from that seed when you first heard
yes.
it.
Yes.
You know, like, there's just something about a Eurovision song. You just know when something clicks before everyone else. Do you ever have those moments where you just rewatched those performances? If you're feeling like a bit flat or, you know, or you've got, you just got a couple of moments, like I do that. I put on my favorite Eurovision songs just to give me a little boost, to give me the goosebump feeling again.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and it's funny because I haven't really watched back anything of my year because it's so precious in my mind. I don't want to like ruin it. But I do, like, every time I have a photo shoot or whatever, and we really want to, like, spruce the energy up, we put Fuego on every time.
Ah, do you?
Every time, yeah.
So it's like your warm-up track.
It is. It's the keep me going track.
I love it. It, like, fulfills so many functions. Eleni, you know, she is part of Eurovision legend as well. Did you have Eurovision parties?
I did not. I used to watch it with my family and, because I get so nerdy about it. I'm like, don't interrupt. I'm like, let me write.
So when I used to have Eurovision parties, I would always have everyone over and it would be, you know, I'd invite them over because, you know, promise of a good time.
Yes.
But I wouldn't let people talk through the songs.
I know. And it's so annoying.
It's so annoying.
Let me listen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, how can we like score these people properly if we can't hear the song?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
the exact same. Well, and there's also it's like the first couple of seconds, it's the time to like roast or appreciate. And then it's like, enough, shut up.
You can talk in the postcards. You can get your snacks then. But please, let's focus during the songs. Exactly. Let's appreciate what's going on. We're all here for the same purpose. No talking at the back. Yeah. Honestly, I've had those parties where I've had to send like naughty school children to the back of the room. I'm like, if you want to gossip, if you don't want to watch the songs, then just go and talk at the background. But don't ruin it for the rest of us.
And whenever people don't listen to it, my night gets ruined. I'm like, well, I got to watch it back.
Talking about the Netherlands, I mean, I've got some of the people here around me. Duncan, like I said, Anouk, Esten Steen. Anouk really is the one that turned things around for you as a country. How proud are you of her for doing that?
Well, she put us back on the map. And I think part of why I was able to host was also because of her. And I remember that it was announced that she was doing it, and the Netherlands was like, what? Like a serious, like established artist is going to be doing this? And we were like, oh my God, this is going to be a train wreck. And then she stood there in her jeans and her like very casual outfit, and her song and her voice just captivated Europe, and it was beautiful. And I remember thinking that after that, every year we were like, well, if Anouk was a success, who do we send now? Like, how does it get better than that? Because Anouk is pretty high up in like the charts of like how good does it get in here? So we were like, oh, but did we just send in the best already? Like, now we're gonna downgrade. But we've had quite some successes after that.
Yeah, and not least Duncan. Duncan's the reason that you got to host. And I think Arcade is still the most streamed
is
Eurovision
really?
Song of all time.
Is
yeah, don't
than,
quote me on that.
Armenia?
I believe so. I need to double check. I don't want to I don't want to like do fake news, but at last time of checking, it was still like the most streamed Eurovision song of all time, you know, more than a billion. And he did that for the Netherlands. Still, and it's still such a beautiful song, isn't it? You know, all these years on.
It is. It's such, and the performance, and the ball drop. I remember the country just going wild over the ball drop. They were like, don't do it. But I'm glad he did.
So what do you know about this year's Dutch entry?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I don't know much about him yet. So.
I haven't heard his songs. I don't know what type of person he is. He seems to be really wanting to do this, which I think is very cool.
Yeah.
And he's really made his mission to be there. So I hope he delivers. Yeah.
What are you planning to do for Eurovision this year? Would you like to be in Malmö?
Well, we're talking about this. I might be there for the finale, but there's a couple of thoughts that pass through my mind because I'm like, I don't want to look like I'm like desperate.
You'd never be desperate, Nikki.
I'm here. Hello. but I do enjoy that bubble, so I might have to go back for that bubble because once you've experienced the Eurovision bubble and how magical, I know it sounds silly, but how magical it can get, it's once you can have the opportunity to tap back into that. Yes.
Nikki, it doesn't sound silly. We all know everyone listening to this is part of that bubble. You know, once Eurovision bites, it never quite leaves you.
It doesn't.
You know, it kind of grips you. It's kind of hard to explain why. I still to this day don't really, can't pinpoint the reason why Eurovision is like the way it is, but we just know it's this amazing force for good ultimately. You've interviewed so many famous people. Who would you, if it was a dream scenario, who would you love to see on the Eurovision stage? Who do you think would absolutely smash it?
Oh my gosh. That is a very good question. Let me think. I would love to see, well, I know they're on a hiatus right now, but I would have loved to see Little Mix on the stage. Oh, so good. So
the choreo, I can just imagine it now.
They would smash. So pretty, yeah, Little Mix. Yeah, they need to come back for this.
Like we talked about Fuego already, but what are some of the other Eurovision performances that really kind of stand out in your mind? Ones that you just think, how did they do that?
I believe it was 2008. That was a good year for me because there were a couple of songs that I obsessed over. We had Grease. I hope I'm right with the year, but it was My Secret Combination.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, my Barbie fantasy. That was a good year. I love the Kele Kele. I believe that was 2008 as well. There was one song, I believe it was Cypress, and I loved her. She had a very low voice, but she was like this poppy girly, and she was like delivering, but it was like her voice didn't match her face, and it was
Yeah. It was Cypress. Yeah.
And I remember just being obsessed with her. She was so much fun. And there was another one. I believe it was Serbia. Well, I don't know Serbian, but I'm not going to sing it now. But I believe it's called Oro.
Okay, I can't think off the top of my head which one that is. I vaguely know it, but I can't think of it off the top of my head.
So cold, honey.
Also, you can sing.
No.
Yes, you can.
Auto-tune on that.
So you do like the girly bops.
Oh, yes.
So I'm guessing, like, you know, slow-mo for days,
yes.
Right?
Yes, and, well, Chanel recently with Spain had me to chokehold. I love a good, I love female acts. I love them. And I love it when they're strong and powerful and when they've got a little choreo and they're bringing it. But I also love, like, the heavy, heavy, like, ballads. I loved Sweden a couple of years ago. Hold Me Close.
Yeah, Cornelia Jacobs.
Oh, well, yeah, you pretty much know what my type is by now. Yeah.
Even Barbara Pravi from your year as well. Voila.
That's so emotional and small and so good.
Listen, would you ever, I don't know, would you ever kind of try to create your perfect Eurovision act? Would you ever want to, like, say one year to the, you know, the higher ups in the Netherlands and go, let me look after this year. I can create perfect act.
I don't know if I can do well.
But you know it so well. You know what works, Nikki.
I do. But then if we don't work that year, that's going to be all on me. And then they're like, you're not going to be asked back to host. And I'd rather be asked back to host.
You're like, I want to preserve.
Yes, I'll guide where I can. But not that
guide where I can. I love it. Going back to when you co-hosted, was there any like weird hairy moments from the 2 weeks where something might not have gone just a plan?
For me, a couple of key moments. It's so funny to talk about this now. When we did our opening, it might have been for the first semifinal or the second. I remember that. I can't believe we're going to say this. So we're on stage and we're like, Eurovision, let's begin. And I remember that our director was like, okay, Nikki and all the other hosts, after you do your call out, Chantal's going to run past you because she has to race to one side of the venue in case we don't make it in time. So I believe Cyprus was up first, and because she had like quite a big stage, it took some time to like get it all done. And you always want to have people in certain spots where we can like stretch time a little bit, or where we can like, you know, talk to the green room or the crowd or whatever. And we decided on Chantal's going to be the first one in her spot to like stretch if we need to. But because we just did our first live sort of like opening, I was like over the moon, and I was like, oh my God, this is actually happening. So instead of letting Chantal go past me to run to her spot, I was just kind of in the way with my big dress. And I heard the director screaming, Nikki, get out of the way! And I'm like, what? What's going on? And I remember thinking, I forgot. So I ran to the other side and they just passed me. I felt so bad. And it was like, oh my God, I just ruined the entire night. How could I do this? So that is one moment that I'll never forget, because every time I think things are going right, I'm like, Nikki, get out the way.
Did you feel like you were being told off in school?
Plus 10. Times 10. I felt horrible. I was like, I got fired on the spot.
But it's live TV, at the end of the day.
And
everyone is allowed.
One spot, there was something going on with the votes. And so we had to stretch time somewhere. And they wanted me to do it. And we rehearsed this to death. But like, what people don't know is when you have to stretch, you also get a time limit. You can't sit there and talk to the contestants for like minutes. Like, you have an in-ear and they go 12 seconds. 8 seconds. While you're trying to look spontaneous and having this like normal conversation with the contestant, and you're and they're answering, and I'm like, 7, 5, 4. And I believe it was either Switzerland or France. And I was like, okay, great, thank you.
I felt
horrible because I was like, we gotta cut out.
Did it feel like you were out of your comfort zone, but in the best way possible?
Oh, I love being out of my comfort zone. I loved the stress of Eurovision. I loved the only getting 3 hours of sleep every day because you're on such a adrenaline kick and you're on such a high. I loved it. And I remember looking at my team and we were looking at each other like, we are dead inside, but we're going to miss this in a week. So let's enjoy it.
Yeah. You soak up every iota of Eurovision that you can.
Yeah.
You know, I like the thought of you like, you know, asleep and then suddenly you wake up. Nikki, get out of the way.
You can't sleep because then you want to see what all the reviews are saying about how you hosted. And you're like scrolling. You're like on Instagram looking at the comments. You're like, oh, my God, they like me. They like me.
Yeah, it was nice, right? It was such a, like I said, it was a really warm response. I think people were like, she gets it. Like, she gets Eurovision.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everyone around you, your family, were they really proud of what
you did? Oh, they were. And it's funny because we were very deep into COVID area, And as the host also had to stay isolated from the people because if we got sick, that would have been a problem. So I couldn't see my family for like a month. And I was like, I miss you so much. And you couldn't go home. So we were in a hotel. We had to stay there all the time, which is fine. It adds to the bubble. But at one point I was like, I haven't seen my family in weeks. Yeah.
You know, and it was a weird year in terms of COVID. You know, there was lots of restrictions in. You know, there wasn't a full audience in Ahoy, but that didn't dampen the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know?
It felt like it.
And with the acts as well, like with people like Måneskin, it still felt like Eurovision had brought it that year.
Yeah.
And you look back and it's a complete classic year, isn't it?
It is.
You know?
It's one of my favorite years. And every time I look on TikTok and people are doing like little clips, I read the comments and everyone was like, 2021 was the year. It was such a good year. And every time I read that, I'm like, yes, it was.
Finally, who's your dream interval act, would you say?
Oh my God, my dream interval act.
Because that's not somebody competing. That's just somebody doing their thing.
That's someone who's got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one answer, to be honest.
Who?
Adele.
Ah!
Can you imagine if Adele did an interval act? Oh!
I would love to think that she watches it every year. I know she's doing weekends in Las Vegas, but for one weekend of the year, she goes, it's Eurovision. I have no idea if she is a Eurovision fan or not. I really hope she is.
I don't know if we asked her this when I did her makeup. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know if we asked. Confirmation was like, no, we don't know.
She'd be an amazing Eurovision party host.
Oh my God, yes.
You know, she would know. She would like bring the snacks. She would like, you know, have everybody in order. She would make sure that people were quiet during the songs, but then be funny in between. Yeah, completely. But yeah, going back, imagine her as the interval acts. I can just imagine, do you picture everything in Eurovision in staging? I can imagine the staging now, you know, I can imagine like the spotlights coming up like this on her. Goodness. Do you know what I mean? I can just imagine. And then her in silhouette with a light behind. And then she comes into like force.
Maybe you should help the Netherlands.
I think any Eurovision fan has their own view on how things should be staged. I just love that my brain thinks in Eurovision staging for everything.
Looks. I'm like, oh, they should wear this.
Yeah. I'll do the staging. You do the looks.
Yes.
And dream team.
Yeah.
We've got it.
I'm on. I got
We've got it. So 2024, another Eurovision year, another year where you will be watching intently.
Yeah.
Will you be scoring, noting absolutely. Everything down?
And I can't wait to hear our song from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Like, I have no clue where the song is going to go. Like, no clue. I know it's going to be in Dutch, which I really like, but I have no clue what he's going to serve. Like, I have no clue.
I think we have geeked out enough. I do love geeking out with Eurovision fans. I hope you've enjoyed it too, Nikki.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you.
We will look forward to seeing you potentially in Malmo. And if the Netherlands ever win again, they know who they're phoning straight away, right?
They asked me back.
They're like, Nikki, you're first on our list. Let's do it. And just prepare for more running around. It sounds like there's so much running around.
Well, and next time if we do win and I'm hosting again, I'm singing. Because like, I'm not using this fucking word again.
Because you can lip sync, so it's all good.
Exactly.
You know? Nikki, thank you so much for being here on the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast. We've loved chatting to you. Like I said, you're a very special member of the family, and we just love watching what you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, love Nikki so much. Honestly, could talk to her all day. Will we see her host the contest again one day? Maybe, if the Netherlands wins. Big thank you to her for coming on the pod. And like I said earlier, we're now back with weekly episodes right through to Malmö in May. Everything is happening pretty fast now. As we always know, when we come round to January and February, the new year, suddenly it all starts again. National finals and more artists being confirmed by the day. For now, have a good week and catch you soon. Bye.